over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep o'er my soul. My joy is complete when I sit. God grant it. Look what is said here. We'll do Isaiah 32 and then turn over to Hebrews 6. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. This is the verse I want you to see. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. So it's a hiding place there, refuge there. Now over in Hebrews 6, verse 18. Verse 17, I should read that. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. He wants us to abundantly see some things here. And there's the heirs of promise. It's the people that He has chosen in Christ. We inherited the promise of salvation in Christ. Promise of the Holy Spirit. Promise of faith. Promise of justification, forgiveness. But God wants to show us the immutability of His counsel, that it can never change. Impossible to change. And what He did, He confirmed it by an oath. And two immutable things He did. First, it was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation, since God can't lie and won't lie. And His counsel is immutable. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, where the forerunners for us entered, Jesus, made the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now I talked about who hath fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. I want to talk about Christ, our refuge. Christ, our refuge. Paul is describing here true believers. And he said here they have a strong consolation. Strong consolation. Not a weak, but a strong one. And that consolation is that God cannot lie. And that He made an oath Himself. Since He can't lie, and He made an oath. And those two immutable things, those things that cannot never be changed, since He sent Christ before us, we have such a strong consolation, and we have fled to Christ as our refuge, and that hope that's set before us in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what it means, that you're greatly comforted. And there are people who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon this hope set before. You see, the same one they have as their hope is the same one they have as their refuge. The refuge and the hope are the same. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ and His great, great undertaking for us, the great salvation He accomplished for us. And we, as God's people, have fled for Him for two reasons. Let me give them to you. We flee to Him for two reasons. First of all, we flee to Him because of the future. Because of the future. To lay hold upon the hope set before us. We don't know what the future holds, so we flee to Him. Whatever may happen, we're just going to keep coming to Him. We're going to flee to Him. We flee to Him to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And the hope that's laid up for us in heaven, Colossians 1:15 says this, that we have an inheritance in heaven, reserved in heaven for us. And that's the hope that's laid up for us. And in reference to the gospel that's set before us, So in regards to the future, we flee to Christ, flee to that refuge, that hold that's set before us. Lay hold of it. And then also we flee and lay hold upon the hope set before us because of the present, because of what's going on right now. We flee to Him every day for refuge. And the reason we flee to Him every day for refuge is because we have a need to flee to Him. I have a need to go to Christ. Don't you have a need to go to Christ? Don't you have a need to flee to Christ? Don't you have a need to lay hold upon that hope that's set before you? And the Lord Jesus Christ is our refuge, and we flee to Him every day. Flee to Him every day. And that's what He said, for a strong consolation, who have fled. Now when you flee to something, that means you're in a hurry to get there. You're not dragging your feet. You have no hesitation. You have no thought about doing it. You just fled. You fled to it. And what is meant? He said, we have fled for strong consolation, who have fled. We as God's people, Christians, believers, saints, the elect, people in great need who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. That hope, what is meant by a refuge? A refuge is something people flee to. A place to hide in times of trouble. In times of danger. People have, people build storm shelters. So when the weather gets real bad, they flee to that storm shelter. And people have these places in times of trouble or danger, a place that they go to hide. It's a refuge. And they flee to this refuge for safety. They flee to it for supply. They flee to it believing that they will have it when they get there. A refuge. And I tell you what, there's two kinds of refuges that we have. We have personal refuges. And what I mean by that, there are people in whom we can confide. There are people that we love and we confide in them. We can trust them. And when we come to them for shelter, we come to them for refuge sometimes. We expect shelter from a faithful, trustful friend. We go to somebody to unburden ourselves, to go to them for some help, for some comfort, and for consolation. And we go to them, they're trustworthy, they're faithful. And we call them our refuge. And we make them so. And if anything ails us or anything bothers us, we want to go to them and unburden us. Jonathan is this perfect illustration of that. When Saul was after David, Saul's son Jonathan was David's refuge. David would go to him, and Jonathan come out and say, "This, my father's going to do this, and you go there and you hide here and you do that." Because Jonathan was David's refuge in his time of trouble when his father, Jonathan's father, was after him. It was his refuge. It was a place that he could go and have some consolation and flee there for that. And then there's real refuges. And there are things that sometimes are our refuge. Like in a time of war, back in the old days, men would get in castles, they'd get in forts. When I was in Vietnam, we had bunkers. Oh my goodness, big old huge bunkers. You get inside those bunkers and I don't know why, you felt safe. You felt safe. And until you get in these places and we feel like we'd be safe when we got there. Proverbs says the rich man's wealth is his strong city. That's his refuge. And Joab, when David was going to get him, because he came in and became friends and helped overthrow, going to overthrow David, and he fled and laid hold of the horns of the altar. He thought, "This nobody will come in here and get me when I'm laid hold to the horns of the altar." That was his refuge. When justice and guilt pursued him, that way he went and laid hold of the horns of the altar and laid there. And then there were six cities of refuge in the Old Testament appointed by God for the manslayer where he could flee to. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Look with me over in Numbers 35, just a moment. Numbers 35. You know, there were six cities of refuge, and God appointed these six cities of refuge. And that's why when Paul says we've got a consolation, strong consolation, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope, this refuge that we have. Look here at Numbers 35 and verse 9. And that's what Paul's doing here in the apostle in Hebrews 6, alluding to the cities of refuge. And look what he said in verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then shall you appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee there which killeth any persons at unawares, that kill somebody without any intention, without any malice, with an accident. Something happens and somebody gets killed by an accident, and he said, and you have these cities of refuge. And in verse 12, and they shall be unto you your cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall have, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side of Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. Now listen to this. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any persons unawares may flee there. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Said we have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope before us. And there's those city of refuge. They had a place to run and a place to get in and a place to be safe. And as they had their refuge, they had six cities. They had their refuges to go to. We have our refuge. Theirs were six cities. Ours is one, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need any more than Him. We don't need six cities. We don't even need a city. We have the Lord Jesus Christ to run into and there be saved. And I tell you what, bless His holy name, I don't need a city. I've got a person. I got a person. And let me give you some reasons. The great need, oh, we have such a great need of a refuge every day. Every day. And let me give you four reasons why we need a refuge every day. First reason is because we're sinners. Because we're sinners. And whether we know it or not, we contract guilt every day. We contract guilt every day. Let me show you something over here in 1 John chapter 1. That's what John meant when he says, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You see, we contract guilt every day. And we know it. And we got some place to go. And I tell you this, and look what John said here in verse 7. 1 John 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, as truth not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now listen to this. If we say that we have not sinned, and what that means is, if it says that we have not sinned in anything and everything we've done, that don't mean that I committed a particular sin. That means that sin is involved with whatever we do. That's what that means. If any man says we have not sinned, we have sinned. We have, as one man said, we have to repent over our repentance. We have to shed tears over our tears. There's sin. We cannot pray without sin. We can't read the Bible without sin. We cannot come into a place like this and worship God without having sin. Sin is so part of us. And that's what he says. If we say that we have not sinned, what do? We make God a liar. And His Word's not in us. And His Word's not in us. And this is the situation. If we didn't have a refuge, and if the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't our refuge as sinners, God's justice would destroy us. And if we didn't get to our refuge, if we trusted what I'm saying, if we trusted any other refuge, if we took hold of the horns of the altar Or if we went to anybody else or any place else other than the Lord Jesus Christ, then God's justice would get us. That's why he said, get in that city of refuge. Somebody's after you. Get in Christ. Sin's after me. And sin can't come and get me where Christ is. And I tell you, I know folks find that hard to understand. But honestly, when it says that if a man says he has not sinned, that means sinned in anything he does. Sin takes everything we do. We sat in here to worship and look where your mind goes. Look where your heart goes. Your mind will just, all of a sudden you'll be paying attention. Next thing you know, your mind's gone. And after a while, you've missed two or three points and you come back. What was just said? We try to sing, we try to pray, and that's what I'm talking about. That's why we have to have a refuge. That's why we need a refuge. Who in the world can we go to with this condition we're in? Where can we go to that takes care of our holy things? It says that the high priest, he made atonement for the sins of the holy thing. And that means the sins of the sanctuary. And I'll tell you, bless his holy name, when no matter what we are and how, we got a place to run and hide. We flee to him. And I'll tell you the second reason why we have a great need of a refuge every day is because of temptations. Oh, temptations assault us. The world, oh, the world. How alluring the world is. And how awful the flesh is. Oh, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Oh, the flesh, that the flesh, and those that are in the flesh cannot please God. The devil, he goes about as a roaring lion. If he ain't a roaring lion, he's an angel of light and transforms himself into an angel of light. And I tell you what, beloved, he's busy. And he uses any means. He uses any means. And he used the Apostle Peter against the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ was talking about going to the cross, and Satan used Simon Peter to tell him not to do it. And oh, beloved, he by any means, by fair means or foul means, it don't mean no difference to him. He'll allure us, or else he'll scare us to death one way or another. And the world, the flesh, the devil, and all that's in us, they set upon us to draw us away from God to sin. And he uses temptations of one kind or another, and he's always assaulting us. He'll use your mind. He'll use suspicion. He'll use the way somebody talks to you. He'll use something against you to turn you and cause you to get your mind off of Christ and turn you away from Christ. And oh, I tell you, the question is, where is our refuge at in these temptations? Where do we go for strength? Where do we go for safety? Do we run to something in ourselves? Oh, no. No, no, no. Or do we do like David? When he stood against Goliath, he said, "Oh, I come to you in the name of the Lord, in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't dare fight the devil. I don't dare fight Goliath. I don't dare fight Satan. I don't dare fight the world. I can't even conquer my own flesh. If it wasn't for Christ in me, there'd be no hope of glory." And that's why I said, where are we going to flee to? Going to flee to Christ. And in all troubles, I tell you the third reason why we flee to him and need to flee to him is troubles, besetting troubles. Oh, besetting troubles. Something happens all the time that causes us and grieves us. We have our own troubles, and then somebody else comes along, and then we take their troubles. Somebody else comes along and we hear about their troubles. Somebody else comes along and we're burned about their troubles. And we're like Job. When once somebody comes by and says, this happened, say, well, somebody comes along and says, you know what happened to this and you know what happened to that one? And next thing you know, troubles just absolutely come and overwhelm us. Job says, man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles. I've got a message I'm going to preach in a week or two on why does pain exist? Why does pain exist in this world? But troubles beset us. And oh my, what would it be like to not have a refuge to flee to that would help us bear it up? Huh? Troubles, troubles, troubles. Troubles, oh my. He says, oh. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, when He stood outside Lazarus' tomb, the Scripture said He was troubled in His spirit. Somebody says, well, my mother and father look after me. Or I have a friend that does not see me get into want. But you know what the believer says? He said, I've got a refuge. I've got a refuge. I've got a better refuge than any you'll ever have. I've got a stronger refuge. A surer refuge than my mother, than my father, than my children, than my wife, than the church. I got a much safer refuge, a better, stronger, more blessed refuge than everybody else. Because I've got Christ. We've got Christ. And we got Him to flee to. And just if you ain't got troubles now, you will. You will. And then there's dangers. Here's the fourth reason why we need to flee to Him for refuge. Dangers, temptations, and troubles that ain't even got here yet. Ain't got here yet. But they've made their announcement. They're coming. You know why? Because God said they would. God said they would. And like He prayed tonight, Lord, if His tribulations are needed, that's what You'll give. If patience what we need, that's what You'll give. If experience what you need, that's what He'll give. Whatever's needed, that's what He'll give. And you know why He does it? Where are we going to go? That's why He does it. Where are we going to go for this? Where's He said He's a man. A man is a covert. A man is a hiding place. And here's that man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, the fear of what's coming is worse than actually what it is most of the time. Look over in Matthew 6 with me just a moment. Matthew 6. You know, the fear of what's going to happen is often worse than they actually are most of the time. Most of the time. But look what He said here in Matthew 6:34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Oh boy. Dread tomorrow. Take no thought for it. Take no thought for it. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. When you get up in the morning, you'll have enough to deal with without dealing with what's going to happen the day after tomorrow. That's what He said. As sufficient unto the day is the evil for that day. Don't start having evil for on Friday. Start looking how bad Friday's going to be on Monday morning. And do we ever do that? Do you ever start thinking how bad it's going to be on Wednesday when it's just Monday? And that's what He's saying. Tomorrow I'll have enough evil in it for the day to deal with that day without worrying about Tuesday and Wednesday. And oh, listen, the Lord Jesus is our refuge for even these troubles that haven't even come, because we have this fear in us that what will come, what may happen, and we still go to Him that what may yet come. And say, Lord, I want grace, I want strength, I need a place to hide, I'm coming to You for whatever may come, whatever may happen, that I'll honor You when that comes on, that I have a place to hide. Look in Psalm 112 with me just a moment. David says, what time I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in You. Look in Psalms 112 with me just a moment, verse 7. Oh, I'm convinced. Are you convinced? I mean, the Lord convinced me that I need a refuge. And I go to Christ as my refuge. Look what he said in verse 7. Talking about God's people. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. What's going to happen tomorrow? Don't know. But I've got a place to hide when the news comes. I got some place to be. I got some place to be. It ain't gonna hurt me much. Got a good place to be. Good place to be. And let's go back over to this. Let me ask you, let me say a few things about this. We have a great need of a refuge because we're sinners. Because we're sinners. Because of temptations and troubles. And because of what troubles may come. And what kind of refuge is our Lord Jesus Christ? What kind is He? How faithful is He? What kind of a refuge is our Lord Himself? Well, first of all, I'll tell you what He is. He's appointed. God appointed Him to be our refuge, to be our... He's ordained of God on purpose and appointed of God so that we might flee to Him. God set Him as this refuge, appointed Him, ordained Him, set Him up to be our refuge for us to have a place to flee to. That's what He did. There were only six cities appointed for refuge in Israel. And God appointed them, not Moses. And God's appointed one refuge for us to go to. He says, you know where we're going to be accepted at? Only in the Beloved. You know what God made Christ unto us? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, He says, you come unto Me. You come to Me. You weak, you come to Me. You heavy laden, you come to Me. And said, you know what I'll do for you when you come to Me? I'll give you rest. And then when you come unto Me and take My yoke on you, said, you know what else? You'll find rest. He's two rests there, the one that He gives and the one that you find. And that's why He says, you come to Me. And God raised Him up, sent Him, appointed Him, anointed Him to meet all of our needs. We need a priest to offer a sacrifice to God on our behalf. Christ is our great high priest who offered Himself. We need a priest to intercede for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ calls our names before God, bears our names before the Lord Jesus Christ for God Himself. We need a prophet to teach us. To teach us about God. We need a prophet to teach us the Scriptures. We need a prophet to teach us about the things of the Word of God. A prophet to teach us the things of God, the things about ourselves. And Christ is our prophet. He teaches us. And then we need a king to protect us and defend us. I'll tell you what kings in the Scriptures did. Kings, you know what a king does? First of all, first thing he does is he has subjects, and secondly, then he provides for all them subjects. He has to feed them all, clothe them all, and protect every single one of them. And when he able to clothe us? Is he able to feed us? Is he able to protect us? Is he able to defend us? He's got to defend us against all of our enemies, and we got all these enemies. And He feeds us, He protects us, He clothes us, He defends us. And why does He do that? Because God made Him our refuge. And you get in Him, ain't nobody can get you. No, He's an appointed refuge. Not only that, bless His name, He's an able refuge. All-sufficient refuge. Oh, there's lots of refuges that people flee to that won't shield them or shelter them. God says that there's people who fled and they fled to Egypt, and Egypt was as a broken reed. Men did things in their broken reeds. They're just not trustworthy. You know, and you all know where Hosea's at. You go to the book of Daniel, and Hosea is right after the book of Daniel. First of the minor prophets. Look in Hosea 5. in Hosea 5. There's people who have refuges that they're not safe. They're not real. You know, there's people that they have a refuge. Rolf Barner said this one time, the safest place to hide from God is to buy a Bible and join a church. And that's true. You join the average church and God won't bother you. But that's their refuge. And there's a people that have the refuge is a refuge of lies. They've been Baptists all their life and then their whole salvation is in being a Baptist. The whole salvation is, you know, there's people that the whole salvation, if you're not in a couple different denominations, if you're not in their church, there's no way in the world for you to be saved. If you're not a Catholic, outside Catholics, you can't be saved. You get outside the Camelite church and they say you can't be saved. And you get in what they call the Landmark Baptist, if you're not in the Baptist church and a part of the Baptist bride, then you can't. All you can do is be a friend. You can't even be close to Christ. You can just be a friend to Christ. That's a sorry refuge, ain't it? Wouldn't it be an awful refuge to just have, well, I'm a member of the Baptist church. That'd be a horrible refuge. Now, I'm a Calvinist. I'm a 5-point Calvinist. That's a sorry refuge too. Oh, but there's one refuge that God appointed, God anointed, God set up, and He is able and all sufficient, and that's the Lord Jesus Himself. But look what He said here in Hosea chapter 5 and verse 13. He's talking about refuges that people have. It's not good. Look what it says when Ephraim was Joseph's son. God loved Ephraim and Manasseh. But Ephraim, Joseph's son, when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then when Ephraim, where'd he go? To Assyria. And sent to King Jareb. Yet he could not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. Man, go where you want to. Ain't but one place you can go. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But our Lord Jesus, oh, what a refuge He is. Oh, we trust in a person. We look to a person. Talking about Him able, we know that He's able to keep that we've committed on Him against that day. He is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him. And Jude said this, that He's able to present us faultless before His glory at His appearing. And when those lepers came down off the mountain, they fell before the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, if Thou will, Thou canst. And I tell you, our Lord will. And He can. And I tell you, He can acquit us from all guilt. I read this to Mary sitting out on the porch this evening. He can acquit us from guilt. He can secure us from danger. He can support us when we can't stand up. He can supply all of our wants and all of our needs. And He's the only one that can. And oh, He's a refuge that's able and sufficient. You don't need no other place to hide. You don't need Christ plus. Christ is enough. There's a man that's a hiding place. And I'll tell you something else about Him. Not only is He able and sufficient, He's a refuge that's ever, ever near. The word is nigh thee. Where's it at? Even in your mouth. That's the word of faith we preach. What's that? The Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Paul says the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. And oh, listen. David says the Lord is a present help, a very present help in a time of trouble. And I tell you what, when it says He's a very present help, that means, beloved, He's very present to help. You don't have to go after Him. You don't have to go on the hunt of Him. You don't have to go knocking on any doors. You don't have to call the preacher or somebody else. You can go yourself. He said the Lord's a
in the time of trouble. I mean, just there He is. He's right there all the time. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm always with you, and I'll be with you to the end. Having loved His own, He loved them to the end. He ever liveth. He's ever near. Have you ever got up in the middle of the night and went to Him? You ever went to Him? Oh my, you wake up in the morning, you get down and you get thinking about things and you go to Him. Where else you gonna go? You flee to Him. You hide in Him. What comfort when guilty, wounded, tempted, souls in trouble, in danger, know that the refuge is so near. I don't have to get up and go anywhere to get to it. It's not like a storm comes, you know, and you got to try to get out to the storm shelter before it gets too bad. You know how far it takes you to get to this one? You're there. It's like coming to Christ. The minute you start coming, you're there. The minute you start coming to Christ, you've already got there. Ain't that right? And that's the way our refuge is. He's always there. Always there. And I tell you, I love this. I love this right here. He's a universal refuge. What do I mean by that? He's for all types of people. You know, when it said over there in the cities of refuge, He said, you know, that the only type of people that was allowed in there, in the city of refuge, was a man who killed another man, and he didn't intend to kill him. It was an accident. And so if his brothers or uncles or aunt wanted, brothers and sisters or daddy wanted, a vengeance, he'd run into that city of refuge and then he'd have a trial. And if it was really, truly something he didn't intend to do, they'd let him go. But you know, it don't say nothing about thieves, liars. It didn't say anything about people like that. It didn't say anything about other sins that you fled to for there. But in this refuge, everybody's... I don't care who you are, where you are, who you are, and what you've done. He is a refuge. Oh, He's a refuge. Oh, so God hasn't excluded anybody. And He certainly hasn't excluded you. So don't exclude yourself. The cities of refuge was for strangers, not just Israel. And I tell you what, He's a refuge in all cases. All cases. You got inward troubles, He's a refuge for there. You got outward troubles, He's a refuge there. You got bodily troubles, He's a refuge there. You got spiritual troubles, He's a refuge there. And the sin, whatever it may be, His blood and merit can cleanse it all. Let the temptation be whatever it may be. He has strength to overcome it. And the danger, whatever it is, He can save us from it. He can save us from it. And now this, I love this too. He's an unchangeable refuge. He's an immutable refuge. Hebrews, look over in Hebrews. If you're in Hebrews 7, look at 6. Look over in Hebrews 13. Just a minute. He's an unchangeable refuge. You know, the cities of refuge don't exist anymore. There's not no place for you to hide here in this world. The cities of refuge are all gone. They don't exist anymore. But our refuge never changes. Look what He said in verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same. He don't ever change. He's an unchangeable refuge. Our refuge is still what He was, and still where He was for the first soul that ever fled to Him. He's still right there. He's still right there. David says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The Lord will take me up. And He's unchangeable. He can't change. He'll always be there. We go through all kinds of changes, but He never does. And let me tell you something else. He's an open refuge. What do I mean by that? If a refuge was closed to us, what good would it be? What good would it be? If you had a refuge and you had to bang, 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 bang to get in, and they wouldn't open up to let you in, and it's the only place you had to get away, to get hid, to be away from something, and you couldn't get in there, what good would it do? But our Lord Jesus Christ, you don't even have to knock. Oh my. He's open. Oh my. If we were as open to Him as He is to us, our Lord Jesus is the open Savior. As He's a fountain open for uncleanness, is what the Scripture says. His ears always hears our prayer. His arms are always stretched to receive us and embrace us. His eye always sees us, and His hand is always open to give to us. Now that's the kind of refuge we got. And last of all, He's the only refuge. There's no other. There's no other. He's the only one. There's no one in heaven. There's no one in earth. There's none within us. There's none without us. There's none that we can go to for justification or acceptance. When we've sinned, what other way? And who else would atone for our sins? Can a saint or an angel do anything for us? Can our own righteousness be our refuge? And that's why Paul said, I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And so that's why I say, let us flee to our refuge and the hope that's set before us. And I know this, if you've never done it, right now is as good a time as any. If you knew who He is and who and what you are, you'd go to Him so fast. And guess what? He'd receive you just as fast as you went. Oh, thank God for a refuge. Need a refuge. Need a hiding place. Hiding place from so many things. More than I could think of, more than I could enumerate by any means. But oh, what a refuge we have. What a refuge we have. Our blessed, blessed Savior, gracious God in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your great, abundant mercies today. Lord, you enabled me to stand. You enabled the saints to hear. You've allowed us to worship for a little while today, and I thank you for it. Lord, I pray your greatest, richest blessings upon these people here. Not a soul in here that hasn't needed a refuge and who hasn't went to it. But that soul that don't know you, don't know what it is to have a hiding place from the justice and wrath of God, from their sin. So Father, for Christ's sake, open their heart to that they might come to Christ and have that weakness and that burden and that fear and anxieties and troubles and worries and heartaches and fear of the future, all those things they could find rest and peace from. Our Lord, I thank you that we have this place. We have our blessed Savior to go to. Oh, I thank you for him. I bless you for him. In our Lord Jesus' name, I bless you. Amen. Amen.